This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the publisher of Mac's List. It's an online community that connects talented professionals with meaningful work. I believe everyone can find a job they love. But to do that, you need to learn the skills that will help you build a successful career. From professional networking to personal branding, you've got to get good at job hunting. This show helps you do that. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find your dream job. Our guest this week is Catalina Rojas. She's the host of the Social Change Career Podcast. And Catalina is an expert on nonprofit salary negotiation. She says if you choose to work for a nonprofit, that doesn't mean you can't ask for a good salary. In my conversation today with Catalina, we talk about why focusing on money makes you a better leader and team member. We also discuss ways you can be creative with compensation. These might include exploring alternatives like sabbaticals and flexible work conditions. And Catalina emphasizes the importance of doing your homework before you start talking about money. Her advice is practical, actionable, and much of it applies to private sector jobs too. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the Mac's List studio as I interview Catalina Rojas about how to negotiate a nonprofit salary. Catalina Rojas is the Director of Innovation of the Peace and Collaborative Development Network based in Washington, D.C. Her organization engages more than 38,000 academics, practitioners, and organizations around the world. Catalina is passionate about shaking things up, leveraging connections, and making social change happen. She's also the host of the Social Change Career Podcast. And Catalina joins us today from Medellin in Colombia. Catalina, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mac. I'm super happy for being here and talking to your community.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. And our topic this week, as you know, is how to negotiate a nonprofit salary. And I'm looking forward to our conversation about nonprofits and money. And let's deal with a common perception of nonprofits. Let's be candid. They have a reputation for overworking and underpaying people, don't they, Catalina?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully things are changing. But in general, that's sort of a characterization. But I think it has basis on reality that nonprofits are a little bit the opposite of what you would imagine a Fortune 500 company would be, you know, private jets, champagne, celebrating profits over billions of dollars. It's different. In nonprofits, what, you know, the mission and being mission-driven is what attracts the leaders of those organizations, the funders to sustain operations, and the potential employees to join the teams.
But you say, I had a chance to read a number of your blog posts and other articles, that people can work for social change and still earn a good salary, can't they?
Absolutely. I think that in the past conversations we've had, I've been clear with you, and I want people to know that's very strong point of view that I have, being in the nonprofit for decades now, that it's, while that's a characterization and nonprofits traditionally operate like that, thinking about money and thinking about good salaries actually benefits the organization overall. Because think about it, if you are paid according to your education and your experience, you are then not just focused on how am I going to pay rent. You're putting your energy into serving the mission of that organization. So it's time that we start having conversations about money and not feel uncomfortable, and having conversations about money in order to think that it's going to actually help the mission and the efficiency of the team members that are pushing that mission ahead.
What would you say, Catalina, to people working in the nonprofit world or considering a job in that sector who might think, well, You know, if I ask, talk about money with my managers, that's really not part of the culture. And I'm not going to make a good impression with either employers or hiring managers.
I would say that let go of that belief for a second. And I'm going to try to explain to you and to your audience as best as possible why. I think that if you, obviously there's ways of asking, like you don't want to sound like entitled, like, oh, I need a Fortune 500 CEO type of salary, because that shows that you really don't know like your industry. But if you're a person that you want to argue based on your qualifications, your years of experience, your training, salary, you're actually going to leave a very good impression that you're an assertive person, that you take care of yourself, but later on down the job, you're going to be someone who's going to be passionate about the projects and is going to be championing the causes of the organization. And just thinking about money shouldn't equate to being a greedy person, but it's actually a person that's grounded in reality, that has financial and family obligations, and that even though salary is probably not the one number one reason why you want to join a nonprofit, being adequately paid actually makes you a better employee on the long run.
So, Catalina, why are so many people in the nonprofit world uncomfortable talking about money?
I think it's just traditionally because it's mission-driven and it is about the cause. So traditionally people think that, oh, because you're thinking about salary, that means it's less money for the cause or something like that. And I think that, I think, I don't know how to say it other than that I don't agree with that point of view. I think that, you are a team member and you're a valued team member and part of an organization that without the employers, without the different segments of management and implementers and people that are working with customers or whoever is the people that you're serving with, without having you adequately compensated, you're not going to be able to do a good job. So I think there is a need to really reframe the way we equate talking about money with being greedy or being part of the private sector, and talk about, you know, having happy employees is having employees that are not only making it paycheck to paycheck, but also maybe thinking about their future and thinking about saving and thinking about, you know, it's okay. It's not just money too. It's just because you didn't work 16-hour days, that doesn't make you a bad employer. You don't care about the cause. Self-care and thinking about adequate salaries comparable to your industry. You know, we're not talking about out of the scope here, but thinking about some form of work-life balance, some form of adequate salary and compensation will actually contribute to the overall health of the employees, which are the engine of the mission of that organization.
So both managers and employees need to get over this attitude, which is often prevalent in many organizations, that you shouldn't ask about money and you need to focus on the mission alone and put that first. Let's talk about salary negotiation, and I want to get pretty tactical in a moment, but first, talk about the difference. Do you recommend, and I know you work with so many social change leaders through your work at the Peace and Collaborative Development Network, do you recommend that that nonprofit employees and managers take a different approach to salary negotiation than, say, in the private sector?
I think that I think that whether you're negotiating in a private sector or in a nonprofit, you're kind of basically doing the same dance around. It's just the context is different. So it is important that if I were to hire you, I want to make sure that you actually know which industry you're getting into, whether you are in the extractive mining industry or working for local communities in rural Colombia, or that I want you to know that you know the industry, that you've come prepared. But in general, like, I think there's a series of steps, whether you're going for a finance job or a very small nonprofit, you need to do your homework and you need to follow a series of steps in order to be successful in a salary negotiation. Now, I think that hopefully nonprofits, which is no secret for anyone, that the funding donor mechanism is... there is a situation that people call the donor fatigue, that is harder to get funds. It's harder and harder to get funds that nonprofits need to, in a way, rethink not only the way they compensate employees, but also they are generating revenue for the different programs and for their employees. So in that same vein, I think that when you are rethinking or being more creative in nonprofits, that when people come to a nonprofit salary negotiation, that they think of the salary negotiation not only in terms of your monetary compensation, but open up and be creative in terms of what are the things you can bring to the table, that a nonprofit can get creative in order to attract you and make you happy. I think if nonprofits want to continue to thrive and grow and serve all the important missions that they serve, because nonprofits are essential, they have to get creative in ways to attract funds, but also in ways to attract talent. And the better the talent, sometimes the compensation has to get higher. But nonprofits could also have creative and said, okay, so say for every 5 years that you stay with us, we give you a 3 month, I'm making this up, Mac, I'm sorry. We give you a 3 months paid sabbatical so that you develop your own passion or grow your skills.
Okay.
Think about ways that you can be creative that are not necessarily translating to dollars per se.
Okay. So I love the points you're making here, particularly about the process that every listener should go through when negotiating a salary. And also your point about thinking about more than money. So we're going to take a quick break, Catalina. And when we come back, I really want to dive into both of those topics. And I want to get particularly tactical about how a salary negotiation process should work. So please bear with us. And we'll be back after this announcement. It might surprise you to hear this, but when it comes time to talk about salary, many people say yes to the first offer. And when you do this, you make a choice that affects your finances for years to come. Think about it. Your next annual raise is based on your starting salary, and the raise after that, and the one after that too. So when you don't ask for more money, you give up the opportunity to add thousands of dollars to your future earnings. As the publisher of MaxList, I talk to hiring managers every day. They expect new hires to negotiate when it comes to salary, but too many of us don't do it. I want you to get the best salary possible. That's why I created a new guide. It's called How to Talk About Money in an Interview. I explain how you can find out what the market pays for a job. I also give you tips and scripts for how to talk to an employer about money and benefits. And I give you an answer for one of the hardest questions of all. What are your salary expectations? Don't say yes to the first offer. Go to maxlist.org/moneytalk. Get the salary you deserve. Download your free copy of How to Talk About Money in an Interview today. Visit maxlist.org/moneytalk. Again, that's maxlist.org/moneytalk. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio with Catalina Rojas. She's the Director of Innovation of the Peace and Collaborative Development Network. Catalina, before the break, we were talking about negotiating a nonprofit salary, and you were making two big points, and I really want to dive into both of them. The first is there's a process that you need to follow when negotiating a salary. And then your other idea that I want to explore as well is that you need to think about more than just money when you're having these discussions. So let's step back and talk about that process. I'm somebody who's applied for a job, and I've gotten an offer, and there's an appointment to talk about money. What should I do before I walk into that meeting?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I can't wait to answer that question. And I can't wait to say, like, the first thing you should do is you have been through the job searching process, which is long and grueling and stressful. So celebrate, please. Once you get that job offer, like even before you start considering if you're going to take it or not, just go out and celebrate in any way you want to, or any way that makes you happy. Take your loved ones or your best friend and congratulate yourself, because not a whole lot of people get there. Then the second step, just getting a little bit more serious. Okay, like I celebrated now. Let's see what this organization offered me. It's okay to remember this. It's okay to take time, and you are not obligated to respond in the next 3 seconds. Like it's okay to ask 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours. Like, give yourself that time, and if possible, and the organization that is interested in you, bearing in mind that they are not in this tremendous rush, it's okay to get some time to ponder, because of the third point, which I think is very important, is that you need to do some research. And we were talking before about knowing your industry. So obviously, if it's a tiny little nonprofit that started operations 18 months ago, you're not going to compare it to a huge salary in some very profitable industry. But it is important that you do your research, that with your qualifications, with the job title that you have, and with other similar smaller nonprofits, what is the salary range that people are getting? And there are places, Glassdoor.com, there's other ones, Mac probably knows a whole lot about which other resources, because you should already have, hopefully beforehand, talked a little bit about what were your salary expectations. If that's not the case, it's important that when you have this conversation, you have a very clear sense of a salary range. And then this leads us to my fourth point, which is, so have a goal number that would be like your maximum win. Have a walk away number, which is, considering the city where the job is and you will be leaving, considering your own financial status, whether you are in student debt or you have family obligations, whatever it is, what is the minimum amount of money that you can actually do this job?
Okay, so know your range, know what you'd like to get, and know, I think it's called a reserve price, the number below which you don't want to go.
Yeah, it's like the walkaway point, or what you call it, the goal, which is like your win, and the mid-level, which is, you know, in all honesty, it's a negotiation, and a successful negotiation, no one is going to be happy, but everyone is going to have something. So it's, have those figures ahead of time. Also, do a little introspection and analysis on what is important to you. Are you there? Because I have a friend of mine that told me, like, growing up, I was in a very financially stable family, and she needs very high salaries. She works actually in human rights, but she needs very high salaries, and she needs to make a ton of money because it's very important for her to always have that. It gives her security. Someone like me, for instance, I talk a lot about creativity in negotiation, because for me, time off is very important in my life. I can go a little bit lower from my mid-level number if I know that I'm going to have every other Friday off and I can telecommute 2 or 3 times a day. What's important to you? It's something that you need to know. And In the salary negotiation, probably this is not 100% on target to what we're doing, but don't forget that you are in the process of asking questions to see if the organization is a good fit for you.
Okay, so know your market and look at your city and the organizations of comparable size, what they pay for positions. Know yourself and what your financial needs are, and set a range of, you know, the number you'd love to get and the number below which you really can't go. And be aware of your other needs, like perhaps, in the example you cited for yourself, interest in having time off, or in the example of the colleague you mentioned, the importance of just earning a certain amount and recognizing the psychic importance of that. So I know our listeners are thinking, okay, I've done that. Is there any other homework that you would recommend? Perhaps looking at the financial health of the organization, or talking to peers in the field? Any other suggestions, Catalina?
Yeah, the financial health of the organization goes very well with my last point, which is like, come prepared with questions that are important for you. It happened to me, but it happens to many people. Like, it's a small organization, it could be a giant organization, but there are places where you can actually do some research as to the overall budget of the organization. But it's important for you to ask, you know, is how much of their budget have you already raised in nonprofits? For some of you, this might be a surprise, but some nonprofits is, for instance, August, and they don't know whether they're going to have the entire 2018 covered in salaries. That's something that you thrive with uncertainty, and you will be part of sort of helping mainstream financial sustainability mechanisms, or does that freak you out and you really don't want to deal with that uncertainty, especially when you don't know where, if your salary, you know, is secure for however long time it will be. So I think that's important. Talking to peers, I think, is great. I don't want to make this generalization irresponsible, but it's very important for us as women to, and I say that not only as a woman, because I've done my fair share of lessons. I have personal lessons of what I would have loved to do better in negotiations. But it's very important, because a salary negotiation, an assertive person, doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, but if you come across as assertive, if you come across as valuing everything that you've done and that you work hard, you will actually leave a very lasting impression, because you are showing that you value yourself. So don't be afraid to do that. That's something that is actually a little bit hard for me, I have to say, but it's important at that point that you advocate for yourself, especially because we're talking about nonprofits and people that are change makers in the world. So the first person you have to advocate is yourself. It's for yourself.
Terrific. And I'm glad you brought up the need for assertiveness, because I know research out there shows that there is a gender gap in negotiation, that many women struggle with asking for more money. Any tips that you've seen that have been effective to help women be even more successful in salary negotiations?
I think, really fully applying all these steps that, to me, the more prepared I am in any situation, whether it is to go and talk in a podcast or a conference or to prepare a paper, is preparation. Preparation, over the years, I've created this thing that the more prepared I am, the less anxiety I have, because I feel like I control my environment. And so the more prepared you are, and to remember all the people that are behind your education, all the support that your family and friends gave you. This is the time for you to show others how you value yourself. So I think that being very prepared and doing all this industry research is going to pay off. And don't be afraid. It's not going to be perceived as greedy. And even, let's just go there, Mac, even if someone would make a comment on the interview, which I highly doubt, that you are coming across as greedy or selfish or not mission driven, then you'll have very important data that you perhaps are not a good fit for that organization, because this is just you advocating for yourself and trying to put a monetary value on all the work that you've been doing over the years. So there's nothing mean or greedy about it.
And are there tactics in negotiations that you've seen just don't work that listeners should avoid?
To me, if you're overly assertive and you don't argue properly, I think you will, or you are like off base. If you have a salary range that reflects none of the industry, or you really are not able to fully articulate why you're arguing for this number as opposed to what they proposed, then I think it's not going to work very well. And lack of preparation would be a problem there, because if you just can't argue it and you just say, well, I want this because I want it, or you don't really fully articulate, like, look, I've done all this training. I would say that a very practical tip is, and I use that with my clients as well, is like, you have all this training already. When an organization is acquiring you, they don't have to put all this money and time in all the training, because you come with all this already. And look at hiring you has so much value, because you carry all this training and all this experience with that with someone else. They probably have to invest a lot of time and training in doing it. So it's being very articulate and how you, the decision of them to hire you, even at a higher range, is an amazing investment in the long run.
Okay, so do the homework, invest in the preparation, and have the data and the facts to support the points you want to make for whatever number you are seeking, but make sure it's based in reality, not just in desire. Catalina, it's been a great conversation. Now tell us, what's next for you?
I'm very happy where I am. It's a small social enterprise, and we help change makers around the world. And one of the things that we're very excited that we just recently launched is, for the first time, individualized career coaching. And we specialize in giving career advice in the social change industry. So, if you are passionate about changing the world, is what we said, we're passionate about helping you, because we see that we're furthering the mission of advancing positive change in the world if we help your careers and we give you tools to succeed. So that's one of the things that we're very excited about, and that we're hard at work in developing our career coaching for social change leaders.
Well, I encourage people to visit your website too. I did have a chance to look at it and read many of the articles, and you've got some terrific pieces about how to find careers in social change and to navigate different passages like negotiating for salary. And I know the website address is pcdnetwork.org, and we'll be sure to include that in the show notes as well. Catalina, thanks for being on the show today.
I had a great time, and thank you everyone for listening, and I hope to talk to you soon, Mac.
Take care. Well, that was a terrific discussion with Catalina Rojas. There were a number of things I liked about our conversation, but one thing that really stood out for me was the importance of preparation. And she came back to that again and again in encouraging people to do their homework, find out what the market pays for a particular position, putting together the facts, the data, the arguments that are going to be persuasive to a hiring manager when you're in there making the case for the salary that you want. And that's a big part of what inspired us to create our new guide, How to Talk About Money in an Interview. It's a PDF that you can download for free, and you can get it today. Just go to maxlist.org/moneytalk. And we're offering this because we want you to have not only a job you can love, but the best salary possible. And our guide will help you figure out how to do that. Again, the URL is maxlist.org/moneytalk. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Find Your Dream Job. And join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Chris Bray. He's going to talk with me about how you can be unforgettable in a job interview. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.